And that's part of the big question. Our first section is the legacy systems downshift. And to a certain extent, the legacy system downshifting is about how 60 trillion of assets is apportioned to cover the 100 trillion in assets. I'm sorry, of liabilities, because it's clear the politicians are not going to turn to the pension fund retirees or the Social Security beneficiaries or the healthcare beneficiaries and say, oh, we stole 40 or someone stole $40 trillion and, you know, we're just going to abrogate your liabilities. Instead, what we get is a long, slow, steady, complex grind of not telling the truth while you proceed to debase the 100 trillion of liabilities. That's part of what quantitative easing is about, is the kind of debasement that will base those liabilities. And so you're debasing 100 trillion of liabilities down so that 60 trillion of assets can cover it. And that takes thousands of different tactics. But part of your challenge is you still have the breakaway civilization trying to steal or drain off as much of the 60 trillion assets at the same time. So in one hand, it's a simple phenomenon. And on the other hand, it's quite complex. At a deeper level, the financial coup d'etat was in part in anticipating the changes that are coming in both global or that have happened in globalization and new technology. A lot of the biggest changes in new technology have yet to come. They're rolling out as we speak. And so this is really a combination of those three stories, the financial coup and globalization and new technology. And what it all means for you and me is that change is accelerating. And we saw many stories in the third quarter that were really about that grind in the legacy systems as they fade. The biggest one, of course, today is the budget shutdown. You know, for years I've been telling you the red button story, and the House Republicans have essentially hit the red button instead of kicking the can, and the backlash shows how popular kick the can is when everybody realizes, oh, you know, I might not get my check or my mortgage closing may be held up. Get ready for the long haul, because this budget shutdown is only the very beginning. It turns out revenues were much better than expected in 2013. 2014, 15, 16 are going to be much tougher and require facing a whole slew of issues about Social Security, Medicare, pension funds that's going to be much more potentially revolutionary. So don't think that this is going to be quick or temporary. We're in for a lot of grinding of the gears as this 60 trillion to 100 trillion has to get reconciled, and everybody's fighting for their piece. Obamacare really created a framework to try and ultimately cut and control Medicare spending, which if you look at any reasonable projection is really beyond anything we can afford. But they tried to create that framework in a way that could cut corporate, or could cut benefits without cutting corporate profits. Ultimately, it wasn't the kind of reengineering of the health system that we need. And what it does bring is tremendous more centralized control. So I see, Obamacare as a wreck on a wreck. So, it's not surprising we see the kind of political tensions. And I think all over the country you see, enormous numbers of people just trying to understand what the system could mean to them. It's one of the reasons the administration has delayed the implementation for businesses for a year, but the confusion on the individual part is almost as bad. Another story, we're seeing all sorts of efforts to try and clamp down on liabilities, another one in food stamp reforms. The municipal issues with pension funds and bankruptcies are part of that, including the Detroit bankruptcy, although Detroit has been significantly hit by an outflow of population. There was a story this quarter I wanted to point out where one group of legislators were proposing that it be mandated by law that children had to care for aging parents. It's another example of one of thousands of changes of rules that could be made to try and simply shift the liability from the public wheel to private families. Anyway, but be prepared to see significant effort to to try and offshift those liabilities, debase the liabilities, or simply abrogate liabilities. And it's one of the reasons that we continually encourage any subscriber who can to try and create alternative sources of income to anything related directly or indirectly to government. The Federal Reserve largesse that you're seeing during the last year has to do with both cleaning up the fraudulent paper from the financial coup d'etat, but also about buying treasuries to net-net finance the government and keeping interest rates low to keep that legacy system debt operating. And essentially, that's because debasement is more popular than taxation. So, generally as a political matter, what the leadership has found is it's easier to print more money than it is to require people to send money in as taxation. Ultimately, it has a very similar financial effect to them, but it's really the sort of the invisible way to do it. We're watching stories. It was amazing. 2 weeks ago, there was an article saying the executives responsible for the mortgage crisis are back. Well, they never went away. These were people who engineered the coup. They did a very good job at it. That's why they were, instead of being put in jail, promoted and paid huge bonuses. And I think it's upon watching the fact that it's the very same people who engineered the pump and dump of the mortgage market have been nothing but promoted and paid well. You can really start to see the system as it really is intended to. It was during the third quarter that Larry Summers was finally killed as a potential candidate to replace Ben Bernanke at the Federal Reserve. And I think making Summers the Federal Reserve chief after he was so instrumental in engineering the housing bubble and all the sort of shenanigans that we've seen, including the deregulation of derivatives, was really just a little bit too much rubbing it in everyone's faces. There's great confusion in the general population about the leadership's behavior. It's one of the reasons I wrote the Fiscal Cliff article in the beginning of the year. And if you're interested in the deeper story on the difficulties of balancing the budget, I would really encourage you to go look at that. One of the reasons I took the time to write it was I said, okay, over the next 3 years, we're going to get asked this question hundreds, if not thousands of times. So it behooves me to sit down and write the full thing out so that people can really see it. But you'll understand why, if you're a member of Congress, it's extremely challenging for you to do the responsible thing because you've generally got many constituents who are irresponsible, including some who are quite dangerous and above the law, and the general population is still not prepared to hit the red button. So, again, the House Republicans are hitting the red button, and that's an inconvenience that I think the general population is not yet prepared for. Capital controls. As the legacy systems fight to get as many assets as possible, we're watching a real serious effort underway that's been building for quite some time. But we really saw it crescendo in the second and third quarter this year to get ready to go after the tax havens, $30 billion plus sitting in the tax havens, much of it not paying taxes or available as capital. And I think we're really seeing G7 target the tax havens, and we're going to see that rolling out for quite some time. Cyprus was a prototype, if anything, of targeting of a tax haven. We saw just in the last few days Panama have a bank holiday. At the same time, the Department of Justice is negotiating tax enforcement with it, and I suspect that that's a real effort to go at a tax haven that's very close to America. It was interesting when I was litigating with the federal government, I can't tell you how many people tried to get me to move myself and my assets to Panama, and I kept laughing and saying, you know, if you think these guys can get me here, where do you see what they can do to me in Panama? So it'll be interesting to see what comes out, but I think that's only the first of very many squeezes now that the Department of Justice has achieved a real sort of lockdown on the Swiss financial institutions. As part of this sort of legacy system fading, we're seeing the attack on the pension funds, particularly the state and local pension funds. And as I said, the efforts to steal the $60 trillion are not over. Matt Taibbi has a great piece on pension funds, which is up on the blog this week. The risk in all of this, there are two risks, I think, to all of us. And one is that we get left behind because we don't sort of see things as we are. By left behind, one of the groups I would sort of give to this is what I call the collapse cult. Whenever somebody says, oh, the economy may collapse. Well, no, if the economy is collapsing, it's because it's being collapsed. You know, we're going to talk about environmental issues later, and that's a different topic. But if you look at what's happening to the legacy systems, they're not collapsing, they're being collapsed. And this is a fundamental reengineering of the governance system. And it's the result of a coup d'etat. And I would hate to see us mistake a reengineering for an economic collapse, because one is a political problem or issue or dynamic, and the other is economic. And what we're watching is not economic, it's political. But we're also seeing left behind. One of the British papers that was up on the blog last week had a good article about zombie companies, how many companies were literally waking up and finding that as a result of the financial coup and as a result of changes in technology, they're literally waking up and finding that they're irrelevant. And there's a potential danger of another large round of unemployment. I'm seeing that in companies big and small who literally are left flat-footed as the internet and all sorts of changes in technology are really sort of fundamentally changing their business. And one of the issues in the financial markets, of course, is how are corporate earnings going to fare? Well, some companies are going to jump the curve and some aren't. And of course, we're seeing tremendous rise of new companies. I talked last week about we have Alibaba, the largest internet Chinese company, coming to market with a potential valuation of $70 billion. And that was a company that was created in the mid-90s. So, and now it's one of the largest companies in the world. So we're in a period of creative destruction, and there's no doubt about it that either our household or our company can be left flat-footed if we don't sort of keep up. Another risk in all of this is, and one I am most concerned about for our subscribers, is your time. There's nothing more precious than our time, and there are a couple things you can do to absolutely save time. One is to avoid watching the media, the corporate media, because there's a great deal of misleading coverage of this, and it's all designed to make people angry and to feel like a victim in a way that does not get you where you need to go. And then it also really encourages you to believe that you're going to get the, you know, $1 on a dollar instead of 60 cents on the dollar. And the more you believe that the system is legitimate and continue to spend enormous amounts of time trying to get your benefits in a way that distracts you from learning about the new opportunities and shifting into the new opportunities or taking advantage of them, the more your time and attention gets sucked into the old system in a way that makes you angry and isn't effective at making sure you get as, you know, your 60 cents to a dollar on the dollar. I think that is of concern to me. So whatever you do, it's very important to get your whatever money you can get or protect, do it, but move on as quickly as possible without letting entanglements in the legacy system sort of break your heart and waste your time. Okay, so that's it for the legacy systems fade. This is a process that we're going to be managing for many years, as I said. So it's important to be good at it, but not to let it eat up your time and your life.